And this is May 11th already. It's the second call of the month. We're going to talk about what I'm trying to do is have a little bit of mindset information and some marketing information so that there's something for everybody depending on where you are in your business or your art practice. But first, I like to start out with celebrations. Anybody got something that went right this week they want to share? I can't believe that. Come on now.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll start.
Go for it, man.
I just it looks like I have 4 more inquiries for signage this month. So
that's terrific.
Word's getting out somehow, so that's great.
I recommended you through Park Slope Parents to somebody. Did anybody come to you via there?
Yes. Okay, you're the person. Yeah, someone mentioned they were recommended by a neighbor in Park Slope, but I wasn't sure who was.
It could have been me.
So yeah, so their business is in Long Island City. So I told them in June if we could talk back. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know, the Park Slope Parents Network, you probably, I don't know if you, it's a vein of gold. You want to tap that. That's if you can get in there, you know. I don't think you even have to be a parent to join Park Slope Parents networking group, you know.
Okay.
I think you're a prospective parent, and that's enough.
Okay.
So congratulations. I'm really glad to hear that that is starting to pick up momentum. That's true.
Yeah, thanks for the recommendation.
Well, I do what I can when I can, and you're welcome. So that's great news. Who else? I know we have Sarah for a short amount of time.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll celebrate that I got over inaction, you know, and I reached out and I had a face-to-face conversation inquiring about a space, and I was really uncomfortable doing it. And it turned out the space that I had been waiting so long to ask about isn't appropriate for what I want to do. So lesson learned, uh-huh. Hesitation doesn't serve me.
Now, what can I ask you a few questions? What was the space for? Just remind me, what was the space for?
One of the organizations that I volunteer for and I want to become an affiliate for, it's called PACS. They have introductions that they have throughout the community. Usually people have them in their living rooms, but it's really nice to have it, you know, like in a Ripley Greer or someplace other than somebody's living room. And I had wanted to have one at the spa in my neighborhood because it's just a beautiful space, but they can't accommodate it because it's too noisy. The foot traffic.
Well, I'm just curious, what held you up from inquiring about the space?
Just nervousness, you know, and fear of rejection. The spa owner telling me no, and I'm in that space between being a volunteer and moving towards being an affiliate, and I'll get a commission for every person that I bring to the workshops. And, you know, I'm struggling with, you know, just this worthiness and, like, you know, that's what's underneath it. But it showed up as just procrastinating talking to the business owner.
What, you were trying to get the space for free?
It was a possibility. You know, if she offered the space for free, then I would have had to offer her the affiliate discount. But even if she wouldn't, then either way, I was approaching making a decision. I was feeling really nervous about it.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you can identify the connection between your nervousness and your procrastination. But it makes me wonder, what is at stake? What do you feel is at stake here?
It doesn't, my self-worth. Every time that I would have to ask for what I need and risk somebody saying no, you know, making it about me when.
Uh-huh.
So moving from the personal to the business.
Right. And I didn't ask permission to coach you, but I hope that's okay. Yeah, that's interesting. You say making it about you, and what a burden! It just seems like that's a terrible burden when it becomes about you in a personal way, doesn't it?
Yes, it keeps me from acting.
And so, I'm wondering that next time you catch yourself procrastinating because you're nervous about how you'll be perceived in some way, can you ask yourself what's at stake? Is there a way you can remember to ask yourself that question? What's at stake?
Yes.
Because it's I think we have to stop and remember. Otherwise, we confuse, I had an interesting experience the other night. I was at a networking event, and I really didn't want to be there. I guess this is my little celebration. I did not want to be there. I felt inferior. My energy was low. I wanted to leave. What felt like my natural kinesthetic physical instinct was to leave. But what it actually was my fear. You know, sometimes they say go with your gut, but you always have to check in to see if your gut is your fear or your actual instinct. It's like tuning in on that deeper level. I stayed because I could tell that it was my fear that was running the show. Right, as opposed to my instinct for what was best for me. And, you know, I got a lot of really good information out of that event. I met some really good people. But, every part of me wanted to leave. So I think the procrastination needs to be challenged when it arises. Right? So sometimes these little celebrations turn into coaching, but I'm glad you overcame that, right?
Thank you.
So, Kim, we're doing little, what were some wonderful things that happened? A celebration could be a realization. It could be any little aha that occurred during the week. Yeah.
Oh, good, yeah. I did have a realization. And it's,
do tell.
Well, I think I finally figured out what it is that I do. Because instead of having 50 plates in the air, I encountered the term experience design.
Oh.
And it made total sense to me, and it's a thing. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and that's what I do. I just was so thrilled because I think I've struggled for most of my adult life to find out, you know, what it is that I do, and there's actually a label for it.
Wow. Isn't that reassuring?
It says, experience design is the practice of designing products, processes, services, events, journeys, environments with a focus placed on the quality of the experience and culturally relevant solutions. It's an emerging discipline.
That's
as
you.
Well as from many other disciplines, including theater.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. That's great. You are an experiential design entrepreneur.
There you go. So,
love it. Congratulations. I'm thrilled for you because, I've often thought of you, Kim, and wondered, okay, she's not a coach, but she is working in the realm of inspiration economy, yes. She has part of the inspiration economy, but what exactly? And what you do when you go into a corporate environment is you do design an experience to open people's minds up. And, well, congratulations. That's going to help a whole lot with your marketing and focusing on your website really and everything.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
It really is.
That's a big one. A big aha.
Yep.
So, anybody else? Because now I'm going to go into what I have prepared, and it'll be interesting.
Well, can you hear me? This is Caddy.
Yes, I can hear you, Caddy. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a small moment of a win, but a huge one for who I am. I have a tendency to underestimate how long it's going to take me to do things.
Yes.
And I was with a client this week, and I had a hard deadline because I had to get to another job that had a hard start time. And I had a significant amount of work to do in that amount of time, and I stood in the room, I'm professionally organizing, in the room, and I looked at, move this to here and that to here and do this and load this in and then start cleaning up at this point in time and then clean up this way methodically backwards and then sweep the room and make sure everything's done. And I looked at my watch and it was exactly the time I wanted it to be. And turns out I can actually do what I'm telling people I can do.
So if somebody's typing, so if you're typing, you might want to put yourself on mute. Or whatever it is you're doing. I hear a little clickety-clack. But, Caddy, that shows great time sensitivity, which I'm very impressed by because not a lot of people have.
And I started to believe I didn't have it either.
Yeah.
Because I always bite off more than I can chew.
Uh-huh.
And then the anxiety of having missed it or not being able to get it done or just over how am I going to possibly get all that done in that short amount of time. So being realistic.
Well, I have a question. What do you attribute that success to?
I am multitasking more than ever in my life. And if I want to be successful on any given for the last 6 months, if I want to be successful on any given day, I darn well better get it done in the amount of time I have allotted or it's not just a personal failure of I wish I'd done better today. It's I actually don't have food.
Well,
I actually don't have a place to live.
So then certainly there's nothing like specificity, like starvation. That's a great motivator. But what I'm wondering is what that specificity got you to do. Did it get you to look at the clock more? How did it get you to pace in some way that may, you know, just making things like that conscious?
Sidetrack.
Right. Okay. So that's a really good segue because you were able to inhibit your attention in a way that allowed you to complete something within the time you had. And that's exactly what we're going to talk a little bit about today. Hi, folks, I'm back. I tried to enlarge the image on the screen and disconnected the entire conference, but I think everybody's still here. Is that right?
Yeah, yes. I'm here. Kim.
Okay.
I'm here.
Oh.
You just disappeared.
I know I did. All right. That was so annoying. The I model. Okay, start sharing. This document here, I don't know if you can see it in its entirety or not. I'm afraid to enlarge it now because I don't want to knock everybody off of the conference again, so I'm going to wiggle around and do my best. Can everybody see this model that I've just put up on the screen, if you're at a screen? Hello? Folks?
Can hear you, Roxy.
Yeah, can
I'm
you
here.
See... Okay, can you see the screen, guys?
Not me, I'm on a phone.
Oh, you're on a phone. Is anybody on a screen? Yes, I can see. I'm on mute. Okay, good.
Yeah, I can
well,
see.
Well, you're on a phone, but I be sure to look at the handout because this is a visual, and sometimes the phone is a little limiting. This is what I call the eye model, and it's a diagram. At the very bottom of the diagram is the word interest. And interest is the catalyst for everything, okay? The arrows are going straight up to intention. When there's interest, intention increases. And a couple of other things happen. There's an arrow going off to the left, and that is up towards ignition, as in motivation. Getting your in touch with your emotions around the matter at hand. Remember, this is the I model, so everything's going to begin with I. And then going up off to the right, as you look at the diagram, is inhibition. Interest also causes you to filter out distractions and monitor your response to things. So the more interested you are in something, the more able the brain is to inhibit or filter out distractions, right? And so it seems, Caddy, that what was happening for you was you were very interested in not starving. You were very interested in getting your job done when you said you would. There was a lot at stake. Now, I was talking to Sarah earlier about things being at stake, and there are times when things are at stake when they shouldn't be. But when you want something to happen, you've got to raise the stakes, right? That increases your interest, which increases your intention and allows you to inhibit your distractions. And basically, interest turns the ignition in the car, in your brain. It turns the brain's ignition on so that you experience motivation. And we all have areas in which this happens quite naturally. I think the challenge is when there are parts of a task, for instance, that just aren't very interesting. Now, this diagram is very much geared to people with clinical ADHD. But the fact is, I believe, given that there's an evolutionary shift going on in terms of people's brains right now, with the stimulus that we have all around us, everything moves so fast that we all are beginning to develop a trait that a lot of ADDers experience, which is, well, shiny object syndrome, basically. If it's not really shiny, it's very hard to stick with it, right? So I thought it would be fun if someone listening, somebody on the call, might share two things, an instance where they experience full focus and concentration, and then an alternate experience where it's practically impossible to focus their attention. And I thought we could play around with that a little bit and see if there is a way to create interest and inhibit attention around the task that's challenging by looking at situations that are easy. Does anybody have something they want to share that runs along those lines? Does this make sense to anybody or everybody?
Rachi, I'm sorry. I had to go deal with something. Sorry. And
that's
so
okay.
Could you just repeat the last thing you said? I've got the I can see the model here.
Yeah.
So just the last.
What I was just saying was, you know, when you're interested, it's easy to do something. Bottom line.
Right.
Because interest, it is the ignition. It turns the ignition of the brain and allows you to inhibit your attention so that you can focus on what you're doing, and it strengthens your intention. For instance, Catty is very interested in not going hungry, so she was very interested in keeping her word and getting paid for the job she was doing, and she made it right. So what I wanted to do was have a volunteer, or maybe I can talk a little bit about this with everybody, and explore a situation where, on one hand, you're interested, it's a joy, and you don't have a problem completing it. And the other hand, where there's something you need to do, but you really have a very difficult time staying with it and completing it.
Can I ask a question before?
Sure.
Sorry. I find, and maybe other people do as well, that in taking on something new, I'm almost always interested.
Right, shiny. And I was talking about shiny objects. Yeah.
Right, shiny objects, right? And so
this
model works until, like the rubber meets the road.
Right.
And either, this is going to be messier and longer and more expensive, take a lot more out of me than I initially thought.
Right.
And so at that juncture, that's a tricky juncture, because sometimes that point is a necessary part of the process.
Right.
Of completing something, of getting something done. But at that point, the assessment has to be made of, well, is the outcome going to be worth it? So, you know what I mean?
I do.
Because I'm almost always bumping up against this wall in some way, shape, or form.
Can you give me a very, would you be willing to be coached a little around this, Kim?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so... How about a specific or circumstances, something where you had a little honeymoon period you were excited about? And specific as well.
So a friend of mine and I have been talking about getting into podcasting for about 2 years.
Right.
And it hasn't happened for a variety of reasons. Some of it is that I know enough about audio recording to know that it's going to be a lot more complicated and frustrating than it may initially appear at first blush.
Right.
But nevertheless, I also know that it can be highly beneficial, and I think that she and I would be good at it.
Right.
So, also her husband is a studio techie, so we have backup if there's an issue, which there almost always will be.
Okay.
So, I committed to fleshing out the idea of a podcast for a consulting association that I'm part of.
Okay.
As a way to add value to what they were offering their members, and also as a way to create a little bit of cash.
Okay.
So we have been focused on this for about 4 months now. We set a timeline and a due-by date, due-by meaning that we would start recording. We would start recording these sessions as interviews we said May or June, and at this point it's going to be June.
Okay.
So I think that there was a point in that process where if I hadn't been aligned with this other person who has a bit more experience than me, I would have decided that this is going to be too much heavy lifting for me right now where I am.
Uh-huh.
But because she was bringing something to the table.
Right.
That I was going to have to sell, to recreate for myself at great cost to me in terms of time, effort, and focus. I decided to go ahead with it. And, you know, we've been encountering a lot of bumps and some frustration. And there's been some frustration with her and between her and I about our focus and the tone we want to set.
Uh-huh.
It's like bump into bump into bump into bump. But we have gotten past a number of obstacles, and it looks like it's going to happen.
Okay, so were you in terms of this model? It
right.
sounds
so
like
in terms of the,
yeah.
yeah. Go ahead.
No, oh, I'm just wondering.
Like interest was definitely happening.
Yeah.
It was creating an intention.
Right.
The interest increased.
Yes.
The intuition involved, you know, was from a number of factors, and it was also mutual. Now,
right.
I happen to know about Priscilla, who is this person I'm partnering with, that she can go after the shiny objects, you know, just as easily as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's always a flip side to that kind of quality. But as we started to talk about it, as we started to figure out what our resources were that we could bring to bear, we got more intentional, and we created... we knew that we were both, we've got a lot of plates spinning in the air, as so many people do. But we created a time on Fridays every week that
That's
we would
great.
Focus on doing this.
Right.
And
so
and
you're inhibiting your attention on
yes,
Fridays to just
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We did. That's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
So as the interest on the part of the ACE members... that's a consulting
okay.
group. As that interest increased, you know, that was a funny juncture because...
Well, we don't want to digress too much because I'm trying to see where
okay,
are
okay,
you...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Where are you stopped? Are you stopped?
Well, I don't think at this point I am stopped because we managed
mm-hmm.
to get over a couple of humps.
Good.
But that was because I had somebody to talk it through.
Is
and
there something
created this time every Friday?
Right. Well, you know what? It's not so much I think that you need coaching. I think you just need validation here, because when you know yourself and you know you're interested at first, but then you are daunted by all of your knowledge. If you were to stay in isolation with this, there would be no way to inhibit your attention to making it happen. You would be distracted and much
yes.
more interested in all the ways it could go wrong and all the reasons why it was unpractical.
Yeah.
So instead, yeah. you created a partnership, which,
yeah.
you know, just that interaction was shiny enough. And the other person's desire also is shiny enough to keep pulling you forward. And the discipline of meeting is a terrific inhibition, right?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
and so you were able
thing,
to... Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing I wanted to say is that another
right.
inhibition happened on the part of members, some members of this association. And they
right.
were inhibited by, oh, you know... first of all, you shouldn't charge money because nobody will pay for this. That
what do you mean they were inhibited by? Let's be careful because we're
never
using.
Gonna be.
We're using inhibition in a.
Yeah.
We have to be careful
I
of the definition. I'm here. Hello, Kim.
Okay.
The definition of inhibition. Yeah. Inhibition meaning
so,
cutting other things out. Is that what you mean they were doing?
Oh, no.
That's what we're talking
no,
about.
No, they were. They were putting up, yeah, they were putting up roadblocks. So I guess, is there a place on this model for roadblocks?
No. Well, that's just, those are just those, you know, the roadblocks for them were at that point more interesting than what
yeah.
you had to offer.
Okay.
So in a
oh,
way,
I
you,
see.
Yeah.
I see how this is working. Okay.
Right. So the challenge then is to re-interest them in the intention,
yeah.
in why it's worth getting off.
Yes, exactly.
Right. The fears, yeah.
And that was good because it really it forced us to articulate specifically what the benefits would be and why it was worth the money that we were charging.
Right.
So
yeah, it is.
Okay, thank you for the inhibition thing. I needed a little bit of...
Oh, I know. It's a weird word. It's a funny word because it does have more than one meaning.
Right, they have to stick to their eyes.
They have to, yes, this guy loves, what is it called, transliteration? Yeah.
Alliteration.
But so in moving forward, now that you're familiar with this model, say there's something that you have to do on your own and you're hitting very interesting obstacles or interesting fears around it. How could you use this model to work it through?
Well, let's see. After this call, I have to edit the audio file that we created on my interview. I have to edit it
right
in a different program from what I was used to previously.
Right.
So I can make the choice to invest my attention in my reticence around tackling the editing function in a new program, or mm-hmm. I can increase my motivation and intensify my connection to the outcome.
That is right. That is beautiful. And for me, I have an example too. You just reminded me of an example. We were having some problems in terms of our income, and we were in the position to have to take a roommate. I have a child who's turning 14, as you know, and mm-hmm. the kid doesn't even have the kid's sleeping on the couch, and we have one room with a door that closes that we're going to rent out. And it suddenly got very clear to me: this child needs a door that closes. We don't need a roommate. This child needs a door that closes to a room. And that became so crystal clear and illuminated and interesting that I was able to focus and pull things together enough to rise to the occasion of making that money. So,
right.
Yeah. The intention... if you're having a hard time staying focused or staying with something, you have to look at what are you paying attention to? Where is your interest?
Right.
Because, you know, if your intention is more interesting than the problems getting to it, then you're going to succeed. So really, this model is a good, I think this model is a good way to think about or remind yourself to pay attention to what you're paying attention to when you're trying to get something done.
right, yeah.
So does anybody else have some response to the time we've spent looking at this I model? Has it opened anything up for you? Anybody else care to share? Katarina Verde is on the line. I'm so excited.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I just came in, so I'm sort of new to the party, and I'm just trying to take it in.
Yeah.
And listening, I'm listening. So I do
that's
think.
That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm listening. So, okay. But I'm trying to filter out the distractions.
Well, you are actually utilizing the I model then.
That's right.
Yes, and you're choosing to find this webinar more interesting than the things that are going on around it that could take your attention elsewhere so that you miss the value. So I'm hoping that this model will help you folks in your endeavors and in shifting something. At this point, we're going to do a 360 here, and we're going to shift over to the marketing period of our program, okay? So bear with me while I do this daredevil technical change, and hopefully I am able to share the screen so that you're looking at what I want you to look at, and that is, boom, how to create free gifts. Oh, there it is, boom. How to create free gifts. Does everybody, if you happen to be looking at a screen, do you see this, folks?
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Bravo. Okay, because I know a couple weeks ago there was interest expressed in this, and I'm talking about it because there are a lot of very interesting businesses in this group. There's the sign painting business. There's a puppetry business. We have fine arts. We have, Courtney hasn't been on the call, I don't think, but he's a gentleman who's doing all kinds of interesting entrepreneurial things to do with coffee, et cetera. And then there's Caddy, who is building her business as an organizer. And we all, over time, are promoting, are getting our websites done. We're all at different phases of this, okay? So this may be information that you just tuck away in a file, and when the time comes, you pull it out. But I think there are a few people on the call who are at a point where this could be very handy. And that is, how do you grow your list? How do you write your prospects? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an echo. Well, I don't know what this echo is. It's annoying. Is everybody else hearing that?
No.
Oh, okay, good. How to create a free gift. Well, why do you do that? Why do you create a free gift on your website? Well, to get people to opt into your newsletter so that you can promote things that you're doing and spread the word of mouth, all right? And the way, and because we all get so many newsletters, nobody wants to opt into a newsletter. I have a dog here who's barking. So in order to get them to do this, you've probably seen this many times. Sign up for my free gift, right? I have something on my website. It's an acronym called PREVAIL, and it's used to help. It's a focusing tool. I have another free gift I do that's an MP3, okay? So the thing about a free gift is, while it should be juicy and interesting, it doesn't need to be too long or detailed. I know there were time. I remember websites where you could sign in, you could join the mailing list and get a 5-day course, which was really cool. But I never did it. You know, who does going to do a 5-day free course, right? That's sort of fallen out of favor. But that's an example of what I'm talking about. And there are different forms that this free gift can take. It can be a PDF document. I don't think, again, a big honking long one is necessarily the best. It could be, for instance, if we go down further on this diagram, if you use numbers like three ways to look at painting, for instance, that is often a nice, nifty little way to frame a gift. Or how to make a puppet in 20 minutes, okay? Oh, intriguing. I'm going to sign up so I can get that free gift, all right? MP3s, I did an audio class is good. Brief video, any combination of the above. And when it comes to MP3s and videos, it's also recommended to have a written portion to accompany it. That's not a bad idea. So how do you choose what the free gift's going to be? Make a list of the problems that your target market experiences. And I have here preferably wake up in the morning problem. And Liam comes to mind as a sign painter because people need to advertise. They need people to stop on the street and walk into their store or restaurant so it doesn't close. That's a wake up in the morning problem. Okay. So you want to make a list of the problems your target market experiences and pick the problem that is most crucial for them and create a gift that solves that problem. All right? And that's where the creativity comes in. So, a gift, I'm not sure. A gift might be these are the colors that are most attractive to people, or, you know, find out what's the best way to get someone, what is the best kind of sign, you know. I mean, I'm just riffing here on poor Liam, but, you know, something that will solve their problem. Three ways to decrease interpersonal tension in the office, right? Now, naming your free gift, you want it to be attractive and benefit rich. You want it, and in this case, yes, it's useful to use numbers in the titles, as I have demonstrated, words such as how to strategize, methods, steps, etc. Seven big mistakes groups make when collaborating, you know. So I've used people who are in the group to think of titles for possible free gifts that would entice people to sign into your mailing list. Does anybody have any comments or questions on how they might apply this to their business? Any thoughts on this material?
This is Kim.
Yeah, hi, Kim.
Hi. So I think this is a great start.
Uh-huh.
I've been poking around this topic for a while.
Right.
And I'm thinking that along with the game I created, I also created a series of about 8 hypothetical cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, you know, they're all in PDF form, and I'm thinking maybe there might be a way to use those.
Interesting.
As a free. But I also like your idea here, the 7 big mistakes groups make when collaborating, that kind of stuff.
Right. It's quick. It's fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shiny objects.
In the title.
Right.
Yeah, shiny objects, exactly. And I think that's more what I need is the whole shiny object thing. I know for myself, I find myself gravitating to stuff with numbers in the title.
Yeah.
For all the reasons everybody explains.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, it's a quick hit. I don't have to spend a lot of time coursing through it. So,
right.
So this is, I like the way it's outlined to predicate it on a problem. What do you mean by preferably a wake up in the morning problem?
Well, like I said, if you were to think of your typical client, you're brought in by HR. I don't know exactly how you get, So what is a problem that they might have chronically at the workplace that if they don't solve, they'll lose their job? Something big, something serious is a wake up in the morning problem. Why are they hiring you?
Yeah, I see. Okay. I mean, the answers could be all over the map in that case. But often has to do with change. Big changes in the workplace that are really impacting people's performance, their trust in an organization. So, okay, good.
Yeah.
That answers that question.
Good. Now, we have a few minutes left, and I want to open the floor to questions of all kinds. It can be pertaining to this piece of marketing material or the I model or anything else going on in your life that affects what you're trying to do with the group by being part of this group. So does anybody have something they want to tease out? Oof. I didn't get any. Yeah, go ahead, Liam.
I have to go back to the free gift thing. I don't see any other way. The most affordable thing I could do is make a sticker to hand out to somebody, or a card, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, well, you have to spend money to make money. So I guess this is part of the process.
Well, you have a website, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are things that people can download that they could print out and cut out, right? And it's free to configure an automated response to, you know, when people opt into your newsletter through MailChimp, for instance. Actually, I think you may have to pay $15 a month for this. I'm not sure. But most mail services, you can configure an automated thing that happens when they opt in to send out the free gift. So it's not really expensive. And I think you want to start thinking more something virtual and cool. Maybe, you know, that they could download, or that could be like their desktop set, you know, something that there becomes their new desktop, right?
Right. It's a little tough when, you know, the shtick is it's painted by hand, and then they get it digital, which sort of backtracks from the allure
of
it.
Well, you are dealing with people who are finding you, though, online. That's the purpose of this, is to build your business online. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you think I kind of like branding-wise. I'm not saying you can't do both. But sure. If you're going to have a newsletter, you want to have people subscribing to it. And this is just a way to get that to happen.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I have to think about how to make it quick and fast.
I mean, you could exactly, quick and fast. I mean, if you wanted to, they could opt in, and then you could do a thing where you mail them something after they opt in. But I think that's a lot just to get people to sign up for your newsletter, to have to put something in the mail to them. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not. I've seen that in places. You'll get a sticker.
Yeah, I went to a place to get a free hat.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Swag.
Well, it's not going to be one size fits all here, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So okay. It's something to think about. And I always say, you know, if money is a problem, start cheap. There's so much you can do for cheap or free, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife, I think initially they did the company name on markers.
Yeah.
You hand that out.
Uh-huh.
That was when they first started. So
uh-huh.
A good way to get your name out.
Yeah. All kinds of ways to get your name out, you know. I mean, if you're going to – we'll talk more about things like, speaking gigs and different workshops and, you know, people opting into the newsletter in order to get swag. Like you're talking about, you know, that's something that I think can happen on an event basis, or you know, because you don't have a storefront, right?
Right.
So this is one piece, just one little piece of the marketing puzzle.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else? You can also text or type in a question if you like, if you're feeling introverted, you have something you want to ask me. Well, I'll just go on to talk about how next week is, and feel free to, you know, interrupt if you have something you want to ask or say. But next week is going to be Q&A, right? So definitely in the course of your work, in the course of your lives, think about matters you might want some coaching on that you can bring to the call next week. All right. The week after that is going to be the week off, and it's very serendipitous because I'm having surgery that week. And this way we won't miss a beat, and I'm very glad about that. And I know that I'm seeing Katarina and Kevin this weekend for their accountability partner intensive. I'm going to be, I guess, Kim and Sarah will be doing something via webinar, and there'll be more details on that forthcoming. But, you know, I know, Liam, you've had a hard time hooking up with your partner, and Caddy's had a bit of a challenge, so maybe I'll do something with you two guys, right? We'll do our own little mini intensive. When are you back in town, Liam?
Possibly the 22nd, but
okay.
Still to be determined.
All right, so, you know, towards the end of the month or early June.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, I think that's it for now, unless anybody else has anything they want to share. Hello? Oh, somebody left a mute. Okay. So unless there's somebody, you have anything you want to share or say or add, I would just say as a little assignment, take this I model into your life this week. And when you find yourself procrastinating, for instance, Sarah, see how you can apply it. See, notice what you're finding interesting and see if you can direct your attention back to something more interesting, like what you have to gain by pushing through the procrastination, calling about the space, etc. All right, use the I model to help you refocus and stay on track. Okay. So that's it till next week. Oh, I think we have somebody in the chat who said something. Oh, why are you having surgery, says Kim. I had the chat closed. I have sinus polyps, and they've recurred, and I'm hoping three times is a charm. They've improved the technology considerably. So it's nothing life-threatening, folks. But I am on... you do go under general anesthesia, so light me, I'll remind you to light a candle for me next week. But I look forward to seeing you all. And remember, I am here. If anybody ever wants to shoot me an email, pick up the phone for a quick call, I am available to you. And, I look forward to talking to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.